welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
This morning, we're going to go ahead and take a look at a passage in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And this is a passage where Jesus is basically kind of giving a little reference to prayer here and the importance of prayer and our confidence, really, that we can have in prayer. He says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him?" You know, some of these passages, we hear them so many times, it's, you know, you can get so close to something that it's so good that you can sometimes just miss some basic essential truths. And this is a passage of Scripture I've read for many years. I've seen it, known it, appreciated it. And, of course, the point being that, you know, if your Heavenly Father, you know, if you being evil, ought to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father give good gifts to you? In other words, he's kind of tying in this parental care, this parental love. And, you know, I guess maybe it's just now that I've been a parent for a few years, as I read this, that concept of parental love is huge. It's important. It's big. You know, for a preacher to stand up and try to minister that God loves you and try to use the angle of a parental love to as an analogy would be one thing, but it's Jesus who introduces this analogy. It's God in the flesh who says, in the same way you love your children, that's exactly the way it is in the Heavenly Father's love for you. It's a parental love. Parental love. I've heard a lot of love of God sermons through my years and preached several. Different aspects you can come at it in terms of redemption and whatnot, but here, Jesus just comes at it from a very clear, direct aspect. The same way you guys love your children, the Heavenly Father loves you. There is a parental love that the Father has for you. Now, if I was to, you know, have a pop quiz this morning and hand out a one-question test, true or false, God loves you, true or false, most of us would get that answer right. We'd say true. We'd mark it true, we'd get 100%, you'd get an A. You'd get an A in the love of God test. But it's those tests after you've missed it, after you've failed, or people have hurt you, or the finances aren't where they need to be. It's those tests of life every day that God wants us to pass, the God loves you test. All right? We know the theology of it. We can see it throughout the Scripture. For God so loved the world. But there is an angle that Jesus came at regarding God's love for us. Again, it's a parental love that he wants us to see, to get, to know that no matter what we're going through in life, we can remember this: God is my Father. He's not just God afar off. He is my Father. And it's interesting the verbiage he'll use here. He says, you know, in verse 11, he says, "If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Now that language might seem a little extreme or taken back by "if you being evil." And we kind of, it doesn't mean that if you being a horrible, bad person, you know, he's not saying, you know, that you're just this awful person. But you'll see he's contrasting things. if you being evil, how much more your Father? He's contrasting the fallen state of man and the perfect state of God. And he's talking to you about your parental love to your children. And again, if you've been a parent for a while, you kind of understand the significance of this. But as a parent, there are just instincts that you have built in. There's an instinctive love. Because even as a natural being, evil, fallen state parent at house, I still have the flesh, the world, and the devil. I'm still capable of selfishness. I'm still capable of all the junk that anybody is. Just because I'm a parent doesn't mean that goes away. But for those of you who are parents out there, how many times in your own selfishness in areas of your life have you looked at your child and thought, no, there's more at stake than me here. There's my child. In fact, it's an amazing thing how you can look at your child and make decisions in your own life to deny your own selfishness, to take care of your children financially or emotionally, or to take time. It's amazing how, as a parent, children have a way of keeping things in perspective to where you can show a love for a child. Again, that'll cause you to stop being selfish. And so Jesus makes that case. If you have the capacity to show a love for a child in your fallen state, how much more will your Heavenly Father in His perfect state have the capacity to love you and give good things to you? He wants us to see it that way. He wants our mind to go there. And some of the reason why we don't grow spiritually is we don't allow our minds to go some of these places. If you want to grow high, your roots are going to go deep in the love of God. They will. You're going to get a rebel. See, really, faith is trust. I bring my thoughts into captivity. I walk in faith because I trust the one I'm putting my faith in. I love him because he first loved me. And I believe that love. And that love is what makes him a safe place to call him Lord, to do whatever he wants me to do in my life, because I know he loves me. I know he's there for me. Praise God. This morning, we're going to simply minister along the lines of God's parental love. God's parental love. Again, we can all pass the test. We can all get the answer right. But it's those tests of life. It's being able, no matter what we're going through, to be able to have the backdrop and context of God's parental love around it. And to be able to keep it there. Oh, praise God, that will make and cause us to get through whatever it is that we're going through. God's parental love. Number one, God's parental love. First of all, it's important to realize you really are a child of God, okay? Here's, you know, one of the most referenced verses, and I think it's one of the most misunderstood. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, this is Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night, had a few questions for him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, Jesus is telling Nicodemus, something has to happen to you. You got to get born again, Nicodemus. You got to be born again. And again, in our culture, the phrase born again means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You know, it's but Jesus, when he introduced the phrase, the concept of the new birth, he wasn't talking about some little subculture, some little group or some little, he was talking about something that would happen to you on the inside. He was talking about a spiritual experience. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Your birth, it really happened, right? There was really a point in time and day you were physically born. It's not just an ethereal thing. No, If you weren't really physically born truly, if there wasn't something that happened in real life, you wouldn't be here right now. Your natural birth really happened. It's what causes you to physically exist in this world. That which is born of flesh is flesh. In the same context, that which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, you're not just born. When a person's born again, they're not just born, you know, in a natural sense, but they're actually experientially born again on the inside. Something happens to a person on the inside. You really become brand new. In other words, when we're talking about child of God, this isn't political things to make you sound good. Oh, we're all children of God, and like me, because I'm a really sweet, wonderful person. No, there's a whole political side in the approval and the glory of man that goes along with some of this stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what the Word says. We're talking about what Jesus said. Jesus said, you must be born again. When you're born again, you become brand new on the inside. Let's take a look at the next scripture here. 1 Peter 1:23 elaborates a little bit more. He says, for you've been born again, not of perishable seed, again, that's a natural birth, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. All right? In other words, Peter's reiterating what Jesus said would happen. When a person believes in Christ, when they call upon the name of the Lord, when they believe in God, they believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, for as many as shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. There is something that happens in a person. You know, in football, popular NFL, and even more sports now, they're going back to instant replay. Well, if you could do a replay, in an instant replay of your life when you accepted Christ, but you could see it from the vantage point of the Spirit, you would see at one point, spiritually, the Bible says you're without hope and without God in the world. But at the point you receive Christ, you're born again of the Word of God. You receive the Word of the Gospel into your life, and it transforms your spirit to be brand new. And that's what we got to really understand. You really are a child of God. You really are a child. This is not a hoop, hooray, believe good, feel good about yourself, be positive. No, it really actually happened in experience when you believed in Christ, knowing that that's who you are. That's who you are on the inside. In fact, John 1:12 puts it this way. He says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, those who believe in his name. There is something that happens, a transformation. 1 John 1:3 puts it this way. He says, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. That's proper. Therefore the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's good. That kind of goes to the lordship word that we heard earlier this morning too. That hope, that desire drives you to be conformed into his image, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it has a motivating effect to be like him. But here's the wonderful thing. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Beloved, now we are the children of God. We are there. In fact, when you die, when your spirit leaves your body, your spirit doesn't change at all. You're the same person you are right now. New creation in Christ Jesus, the old has already passed away, all has already become new. All right? We've got things in our mind that we have to, you know, deal with in our be transformed by the renewing of, but your spirit being, the part of you that got born again, is already there. In fact, the Apostle Paul says we're waiting on the redemption of the body. We're waiting for this thing to get redeemed, but we're not waiting on the redemption of our spirit. You are a child of God. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you. You should be called a child of God. In Colossians 1, kind of gives us a little bit more instant replay background of what happens. It says, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. In other words, I was in the kingdom of darkness. When I got born again, a few things happened. I was conveyed or transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I was an old creature. I became a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. The old passed away. Behold, all became new. These are very important when we're talking about God loves you. And it's a parental love. He loves you. You were bought with a price, the Bible says in Corinthians. We are His. We are absolutely His. Whether you've had a good day or a bad day, you are His. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. There's a new paradigm in the new covenant. I'm not trying to live right to become new. It's because I've become new that I have the ability to live right. And until you see already that you're new on the inside, you'll never quite ever get there to where you can quite live right. It's got to be done in a sense. You'll never get any more righteous than you are right now. But you can be more sanctified than you are right now. Your mind can be more under control. Your flesh could be more under control. There are aspects and elements of your life that continue to grow and get better and stronger spiritually, what we call growing up spiritually, as it were. But as far as your right standing with God, you can't get any more right standing than you are right now with Him. And he who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. Because I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord, the reality, when spiritual things, there have been times in my life in these last over 30-some years that I've been born again where spiritual things are real. I mean, it's like I can almost hold them out in my hand and see them, and where they're just distant and distinct, indistinct. And a lot of that has to do with simply where I'm setting my focus, where I'm setting my mind. And so all of us as Christians, we've experienced this in the course of our Christian walk. But what has stayed constant is that righteous human spirit that God made in you. It's what makes you a child of God. You are a child of God. Again, these aren't, if it's just, the emotional inspiration that you get from that thought, that'll last you till about 2 o'clock this afternoon. But when it becomes truth, you are a child of God and you continue in that truth. I am a child of God. I really am. Good days, bad days, highs, lows. I'm a child of God, and that truth will make you free. Make you free. I'm not doing something to try to experience something, to feel something. No, whether I feel or not, I'm a child of God. We got to get that deep in our hearts. There's a parental love. Why is there a parental love? Because there should be. Because of the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Not because I did anything great. Because of the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, we should be called. It's proper. It's appropriate. There are certain times of history you can see where there's very definite caste systems. Depending on what era, you were born, you were kind of born in. You could have been born into royalty. You could be born into the peasant class. There's all these different castes. And then kind of as you're born, you kind of look around and you have to discover, okay, what caste am I at, where I'm at, and all this kind of different things, and all the political things that fall out and stuff like that, and all the great romance novels are all based on the caste system, right? You got the person from royalty born in one caste, and the person, on the other side of the tracks, and they fall in love, and you get all the family issues that go on in between, but it makes for a great story, that kind of stuff. Well, people are born into those different castes. And when you're born again, you got to look around and take inventory of what you've been born into. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You were born again as a child of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know you, didn't know Him. You're going to look kind of strange. You might come across a little strange. You should. Because you are different. You're a peculiar people in this world. You've been born again. And it's not a political thing. It's not a fighting over, who is the most, compassionate person in compassion contests and all that stuff. Forget it. Don't even try to win them. You might lose some. No biggie. Stay with the Word of God. You're a child of God. And know whose you are. And know who loves you. And, the bottom line is that, hey, I know I'm born again. I know I'm a child of God. It's because of what happened when I got born again. I didn't just get born again to coin a phrase, to join a group. I got born again on the inside spiritually so that I could have communion with God my Father and I could walk with Him. In fact, the Bible says that we are His workmanship. Not only was my spirit made righteous, but it says we are His workmanship in Ephesians 2:10, created for good works that God ordained that we should walk in. And He's in us, working to will and to do of His good pleasure. Not only is it righteous, but I've also got a plan of His, as His workmanship to do. I can be about the Father's business as Jesus was about the Father's business because I have a business to be about as His workmanship. Good works He's ordained me to walk in. In fact, when you got born again, the Bible says He placed you in the body of Christ. He placed you in the body according as it pleased Him. There was a pleasure He had in placing you in the body of Christ. You believe you're a child of God? Yeah, but it's worse than that. Not only am I a child of Almighty God, but I've got an amazing, powerful plan that He's put on my life. Again, not platitudes to make me feel good about myself. It's the truth of God's Word. And you got a few years down here to take inventory of your existence and believe some things. Believe some things that God has said about you. And let it shake off the old paradigms and the old rags and the old identities. I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm not living for God to become anything alone. I'm already there. It's a done deal. I'm living for God now to serve Him with what He's done on the inside of me and to make my life fruitful for His glory. Not only that, but, here's another one. 1 Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. That's pretty strong. He's qualified us and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints of light, God's holy people in light. You got to understand, we're talking about child of God. We're basically talking family of God. And Paul says in Ephesians, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family is named in heaven and earth. You're looking around at your brothers and sisters in Christ here. If you could see all your brothers and sisters in Christ on the earth at one time, you still wouldn't be seeing them all. Of whom the whole family is named in heaven and earth. You have brothers and sisters in Christ in heaven, and you have brothers and sisters in Christ in the earth. There is one family. And there is coming a family reunion time, when we're all going to be caught up together to meet the Lord with the air, and there we will forever be with Him. But there are two places that the family exists, the third heaven and right here on the earth. But it is family, it is one family, and He's made us fit to share in the portion. That's why I said when your spirit leaves your body, you're already fit to share in the third heaven. You are already fashioned for the third heaven. Before you got born again, you were not fit to share in the third heaven. Your spirit would be very out of place in the third heaven. The gift of salvation, the gift of righteousness is what makes you fit to share. And it is a gift. And you receive that. And the most natural place your spirit want to be in heaven is in heaven. It's right. And you know the thing that I've said too about heaven that I think is going to be the most glorious is the sense of familiarity. I mean the brilliance, the brightness, the stuff that will outshine anything you can see down here. But the times you've sensed and perceived and been in fellowship with God, that same spirit, that same voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. There will be an amazing, wonderful familiarity when you go there. But you're made to fit to share. What am I saying? You really are a child of God. You really are. Anybody who has received Christ has been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. You've been made fit to share in the kingdom of God. We're talking about God's parental love. So we got to establish that. So if I really am a child of God, when I say God loves me as a child, you know, again, this is really, truly the truth. He does. Not only that, but you are really, really cared for. And I think one of the greatest passages of Scripture that captures the caring heart of God that He has for us is Jesus' teaching here in Matthew 6. He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? I guess the answer to that question would be yes. Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. Interesting. For your heavenly Father knows, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God. It's kind of a condition there, isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, the choices are, we can seek the things or we can seek Him. And if we'll seek Him, He'll add the things that we need to us. That is wonderful, isn't it? I mean, He is talking about a parental love. He's talking about a parental love that is looking to the parent. If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'm looking unto my Father. I'm looking unto His hand. We know, a lot of us, the story of the prodigal son. You know, the son said, hey, give me my inheritance. I'm good. He takes his, you know, takes his inheritance early. He goes out, spends it all on really bad living, doing bad things. And of course, at some point, the money runs out, and the friends that he thought his friends left him. And he's there working for a pig farmer, and the stuff he's feeding the pigs begins to look good to him. And the thing that really turns his heart was the thought that, you know what? My Father's servants have it pretty good. It wasn't even his Father's love. It was his Father's love for his servants. He began to do the math in his head. Think, man, if I could just go back to my Father as a servant, I could have it so much better. But his Father's love. And of course, as the story goes, he's heading back home. And he doesn't even get all the way home. His Father's actually looking for him. And his Father goes running out to meet him. Running out to meet his son. And his son falls down and just cries out, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. Oh, I said, oh, my son, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a feast. Praise God. Son was lost. He's found again. You see that compassionate, loving, caring heart of the Father toward the son. What is it? It's a relationship. It's family. It's family. You know, you can look across at things that have happened to certain people. You know, whether it's in the world or in the church, and have your assessments and judgments. But when it's somebody in your family, it's amazing how the exact same thing could happen, and all of a sudden you look at it from a parental love perspective. God doesn't look at our situation from the gossip's perspective. God looks at our situations from a parental love perspective. And what is a parental love perspective? How can I reach? How can I love? How can I make whole? How can I help? How can I be a blessing? How can I just, it's an instinctive thing. Again, it could be the same situation, two different people. One of them is your own child. Parental love. He really cares. If I can establish the fact that I'm really a child of God right now, all right, it's not when I get freedom from that one thing that's been bothering me, then, no, right now you're a child of God. If you're born again, you're a child of God. The other stuff is you'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb. But you got to know now you're a child of God. And when it's knowing now that you're a child of God, that yes, He really loves me. He really does. He loves me. And I got His spiritual DNA on the inside of me. Born of His Spirit. I'm not born again of corruptible seed. I'm born again of incorruptible seed. That's His DNA in my spirit, in my being. That's Him. And I know that He really cares. If He's caring so much about, He clothes the grass. He's keeping track of the birds. God's creation is vast, but there's only one thing in all of His creation that He made in His image, and that's me and you. And apparently we're worth more than many birds. In fact, Jesus came to die for the seed of Abraham. He came to die for us. He didn't give aid to angels. He didn't die even for the angelic class. He came to die for us, to pay that price for us. There is a tremendous love, care, and compassion that the Father God has for us. It's a parental love. And I'll tell you what, it's those, again, the tests. That one question test when we're going through something. And maybe it might be something that you feel like you just, boy, it seems like I just can't shake this thing. Especially when things are moving around, you got to have some constants in your life. You got to have a rock that is higher than I. There have got to be a few truths. One of those truths has to be, number one, I am a child of God. I may be the slowest person spiritually on planet Earth to get this, but I'm a child of God, and that doesn't change. And He cares for me. He absolutely cares about me. Everybody, He's clothing the grass, taking care of the birds. And even though I don't know where the money comes or all that financial stuff, I know one thing. If I will not try to take His role as parent, but if I'll seek Him and love Him and go after Him, He'll add those things to me. And when you do that, it doesn't create a laziness. It doesn't create a complacency. But I'll tell you what, when you begin to seek him, you begin to be, you get the ability to be honest with yourself. And in that honesty, he'll just begin to show you things to do. He'll begin to show you things. You know, sometimes he'll say, give, and it will be given unto you. He'll do things that the natural man wouldn't think of, and even if he thought of, never would do them. But God will begin to show you things as your heavenly Father in a way that will just cause you to have your focus on him. And I'm telling you what, once you know you are in fellowship with him, all the caring about what everybody thinks and get everything, that it's just amazing how that goes away. I know, Lord, I'm seeking you first. I know my heart, my mind is on you. I'm not perfect, haven't arrived, but one thing I do, Lord, is I'm looking to you. What does that mean in real life? It means, okay, Father, I have a need here, and I'm looking to you for it. I'm not going to push, pull all the buttons, pull all the triggers, and then when everything blows up, then look, we've all done that. And even if you do that, thank God you can look toward him whenever, you know, whatever that point might be. But it's saying, you know, I'm going to, right now, I'm going to trust you, Lord, that you care for my life, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional, whether it's relationship, whatever it is, beginning to acknowledge him in all our ways, knowing that he really cares for me. Why? I'm a child of God. In Romans it says, having not spared his own son, but delivering him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if there was anything that God would hold back from us that's of precious and value to him, it would have been his son. If he didn't hold his son back, there's nothing else that compares that he'd hold back from us. But what do? We just look unto him. And then finally, God's parental love, you really are loved. It's one thing to know you technically are a child of God. We can go back into the laboratory of the Spirit and see that, yes, I am born again, I am a child of God, that he does care for me if he cares for the birds, but it's in the enclosed the grass of the field. But it's also important to realize that it's not just about what God does for me, but God actually truly loves me in particular. Revelations 4:11, this is a wonderful little passage of Scripture. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. We have a little song that we'd always sing, thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor. Just a wonderful truth. Do you know God has a pleasure in us? This was not just set up as some big religious spiritual exercise. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I mean, what are the things that really matter in life? You know, we have things that will hit our lives. Sometimes it could be a financial tragedy, it could be a natural tragedy, but you realize ultimately relationships are the things that really matter in your life. People. That intangible fellowship that you have with another human, the ability to communicate and exchange thoughts, intimacy. These are the things that ultimately really matter at the end of the day. And ultimately all this stuff, it's not a religious structure to have church, it's ultimately about intimacy with God. This is all set up for one thing, that you have that, what we say, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Yeah, that's really true. It's all about having a personal walk with him. In fact, that's how this whole thing started out in the garden. Adam and Eve, they had a personal walk. And the Lord would come down in the cool of the day and just walk with them and hang out with them. I mean, the reason why the animals got their names is because that's what Adam decided to name them. God would make the animal, he'd bring them to Adam and say, what are you going to call this one? That exchange. And God made Adam, and he made us in his image. And we have a unique ability to fellowship with God like that. To name animals and do stuff and hang out. It's, you know, and of course we know, ate the tree, ate the forbidden fruit, and sin is what caused us to get escorted out of the garden. The whole purpose of the cross was really one thing, to get us back into the garden. So we can pick up where we left off and start talking with God again in the cool of the day. That's what it's all about. And of course, that garden, you know, third heaven, will be there with him and enjoying and fellowship with him. But that's really, in essence, what this is all about. And God has pleasure in it. We please him in ways that, you know, we wonder, but he loves us. And there are things, faith pleases God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, it's possible to please God. Things that please God. When we trust him. He's got the big picture. He understands that we're in a cursed planet filled with demon spirits and your own fallen flesh that you got to deal with. And there's something about a human being that can, by faith, look at his word, cut through all that junk and say, I believe God. I believe you, Father. And finger pointing, could be finger pointing from the church family, but I'm still believing you, Father. Pleases him. Shows up. Trusting you. I mean, he has the capacity, we have the capacity to please him, to do things. And he just loves us and does things for us. Here's an amazing scripture too. This is kind of futuristic, but it's part of our future. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are there in your authority, in your place in the Spirit. Why do we do all that? That, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow. He did all that so that in the age, see, this part of this mortal body segment of your life, very tiny. Okay, this is a vapor, all right? But it's a very important vapor. Think of the Apostle Paul. He got caught up to the third heaven. He saw amazing things. Went back down to his body. And toward the end of his life, he said, man, to die and be with Christ is far better. To die is great gain. But he said, but if I can stay down here a little bit more, that means a little more fruit that'll abound to your account. That's pretty amazing. From a guy who's been up there, who's seen up there and seen down here. I mean, he heard things that aren't even lawful to be spoken down here. He's had from both vantage points. He's looking forward to being there. But he said, but be able to stay down here a little bit more and bear fruit. Yeah, I'm going to stay down here. I'm going to bear more fruit. That's pretty powerful. What does it say? It means, yeah, this is a short time, but it's precious time. You know, this is your one shot. You're in the game right now. All right? The others are in the grandstands cheering us on. But right now, it's Friday night, it's football, and you're in the game. You're on the field. This is your chance to impact eternity. Huge, hugely important. And so we realize that, man, I've got an amazing, you know, I got an amazing time down here, but ultimately this thing's going to be done. And in the ages to come, he's going to show me the exceeding riches of his grace. What does that look like in real life? Where faith meets real life? I don't know. I don't know exactly what that looks like. I've heard somebody say, you know, it's almost kind of like when you're watching fireworks and you go look and you see some fireworks going off and go, wow, oh, cool. And then the next one is like five times bigger and they go, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, wow. You see things, you take things in, they're amazing. You know, and it's going to be him showing us something for the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace. We are going to be amazed throughout all eternity. I mean, you could just take a leaf off one tree and spend a whole lifetime dissecting it. We're talking about the God of creation showing us, ruling and reigning with him. What, know you not that you shall judge angels? No, I didn't know that. So Paul told the Corinthians. I mean, there's an amazing things waiting on us that are out there in the future. You know, I thought of this verse the other day when we went to a kids' elementary school musical. Okay, it's like kindergarten through fifth grade, and it was a Disney theme, and our kids are all through that. You know, except we got Abby coming up. But, you know, we didn't have any children in the play. Now, we've got some of your children in there. It's good. We go, and it's fun to see them and to support that. But I'll tell you what, one of the things that I was so excited tonight, or, you know, that Tuesday night or whatever that was, to go and see, it was because we were going to take Abby. And Abby has a few Disney movies that she likes, that she enjoys. And so I was really excited to go to this kids musical, not because I wanted to see so much the kids up there, but I wanted to watch Abby watch the kids up there. And when I got there, it was so fun. I mean, we watched and we were watching these songs and things, and she would just, her eyes were wide open. She was excited, and she'd hear songs that she was familiar with and really liked it, or just kind of a new, could be a new song, costumes, things that she hadn't seen. And she's just like, wow, oh, wow, this is really cool, you know. And she's watching that, and I'm just watching her watch that. And there is such a joy and a satisfaction, you know, just watching her watch it. You know, I don't know what all this is going to look like as we're watching the things in the ages come, but you know what? God's going to be watching you watch the exceeding riches of his grace. It won't be new to him, but he's going to love watching you, ooh and ah. He loves you. The extravagance in the natural that you would put on something like this, he just enjoys you, enjoys fellowship. When you trust him with another piece of your heart, or with that relationship, or with that thing, oh God, I love you. You love me. You love me. I can trust you. I believe the love. I believe it. And I trust you. I want you to have full control of my life. What are we talking about? We're talking about God's parental love. It's a parental love. So any of you moms and dads out there, realize, allow yourself to go there in your mind. Don't think, oh, too good to be true, tilt. No, it's not too good to be true. He really loves us as a parent loves a child because he did parent us. We were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. That new birth was part of his parenting in us. We received Christ. I don't fully all understand it, but I know one thing, that any man who's in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new, and that new is of God. And that's me, and that's you. You are a child of God. Has nothing to do with political, feel-good junk. It's just really true because Jesus paid a real price. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us in sending Jesus to pay a real price, to bridge that gap, to pay the price for our sins so that we could be born again. That was ultimately why we were bought with a price. What did God do with that? He used that as the occasion, you know, to give us new birth. As many as called upon them, to them he gave the right, this is legal language, the right to become children of God. The legal aspect of redemption provided the legal ability, if you will, that God demanded on himself because he is just and holy, to pay the price for sin. Not to start up another religion, but to get us born again, to get us back in the garden so we can walk with God. And just remember that. In your walk with the Lord, that broader context. Yes, I'm living for God in the context of his parental love. I'm going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, in his parental love. He cares for me. He loves me. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your love for us is real. It's not hollow platitudes, but there was a real price backed, a real blood that was shed. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did it. That you were successful, victorious, that you died for our sins, that you made a way that we could become the children of God. We take time on purpose this morning and stop to behold the manner of love that was bestowed upon you and you, you and you and you and you, each one of us. That love was bestowed upon you. You are not willing that any should perish, but you bestowed your love upon everyone. You're not only the propitiation, the forgiveness of our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. You love us. It's a parental love, Father. We thank you for it. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with it. Say, Heavenly Father, you are my Father. I've been born again into your family. I have believed in Jesus. I am saved. I'm saved from my sin. I'm saved from eternal death. I am saved to eternal life. My future is the third heaven with you forever and the rest of my family. And the third heaven, I will sense your parental love, even as I sense it now. You really are for me, like a parent is for their child. I receive it. Help me to remember and pass that one question test every day of my life. Lord Jesus, today's my day. the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. And I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God.